appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing to be here today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I'm going to read some verses to you. Try to bring something to you today to help you. I enjoyed so much being here these 2 days. What a great place. And God is so good to you to let you be here in this great school and to get your training. This is great. And I thank God for your staff here and the people here and Dr. Wilkerson and the people that train you and work here. Thank God for every one of them. I really do. And thank you for the good music. I enjoyed the singing so much. Thank you for everything. Pastor, thank you for the room and the meals and everything, the love offering, everything that you've done for me while I've been here. I don't take it light. I don't take it light. I really don't. Thank you for everything. And look in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I'm going to read some verses. Let me just tell you real quick a little bit about this, and almost all of you would probably know, but this story is about David, and David was the man that God had set up to be the next king of Israel. Saul was the reigning king, but had got into sin and had messed up, and God took his hand off of him in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. Then, on a little bit later, the Philistines are battling with the Israelites, and David, a shepherd boy, teenage boy, goes up to the battle, sees Goliath cussing the army of God and making threats. And so David, as you know, goes down and kills him with a sling and a rock. And the victory is given. And then the ladies of the city of Jerusalem wrote a song. And in that song, they attributed victory to King Saul, but in verse 2, they said Saul has slain thousands, but David tens of thousands. Well, Saul, the king, was not right anyhow. He wasn't right. And so whenever he heard that verse and that song of them attributing more credit to David than there was to him, well, jealousy rose up. And he was, of course, from that time, he was had jealousy in him, but he got it. The Bible said an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul, and Saul tried to find something to take it away, and he just put a Band-Aid on what needed surgery, basically. And so what he did, he said, I want the best harp player y'all can find, and bring him in and let him play music that'll help me and maybe drive away this spirit. Well, not only the best soldier in the army, that David had killed that giant, but he was also the best musician. He had good balance. And David come in and played that harp. And so Saul said, he's not going back down to the house of Jesse anymore. In other words, he's not going home. I need him to stay here. So he joined the staff, basically, of the king. Well, David become very best of friends in all the world with Saul's son, Jonathan. And they become best friends. And every corner that Saul turned, God was reminding him that he needed to get right. I mean, now here's the man that he was jealous of. Now's the best friend of his son. And Jonathan loved David, and David loved Jonathan. And David's the harp player now. And so here they are in this 19th chapter of Samuel, 19th chapter. And they come for a meal. And the Bible talks about that or in the 20th chapter, or 19th chapter, excuse me, there, the Bible said an evil spirit in verse 9 from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. You know, the girls were just singing, preacher, about whatever you got in your hand to use it. Well, you better be careful what you put in your hand.
Yeah.
See, David had a harp to praise God with, and Saul had a javelin because of what was in his heart. And he was ready to just kill anybody that crossed him. He was full of anger and bitterness and jealousy and all that. Well, because of it, Saul threw that javelin at David, tried to pin him, verse 10 says, to the wall, tried to kill him. Well, David ran. Well, one thing that Saul had done, he tried to destroy David by giving his daughter Michal to David to marry. And he said, she'll be a snare unto him. But Michal loved David. And so a little bit later in this chapter, we see where that Saul sent people in to kill David, and she had took and made up a thing that looked like a person was laying in the bed, and when they attacked it there, they thought it was David, but David had done escaped and left. So David's running. That's where I'm picking him up and just getting to the message. So David, in chapter 20, comes to Jonathan. He meets him. And in verse 1, David fled from Naoth and came to Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done, and what is my iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? David said, I can't figure out what I've done. Well, here's the thing. It wasn't what David done. It was what Saul didn't do. He didn't obey God back there. And he got crossways with God. He got sin in his life, and David didn't really do anything. And David said, what's my sin? What have I done here? And he said unto him, verse 2, and he said unto him, God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father Ernest certainly know it, that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, he said, there's but a step between me and death. And Jonathan said unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. In other words, Jonathan, Saul's son, said, David, whatever you need, I'll do it to help you, to where my dad won't kill you. And so David went on to say to Jonathan in verse 5, David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. And if thy father at all miss me, then say David earnestly, ask leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. So he said, I'm not going to come to that meal tomorrow night to be with the king when they eat, because I'm afraid of him, David. And here's the thing. David was not afraid of Saul. A man that's done killed a giant and done killed a bear and a lion is really not afraid of anybody. He wasn't afraid. He did not want to put his hand against God's anointed. That's what it was. He didn't want to fight the king. He said, I don't want to do that. He said, if God put him in office, let God take him out. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to do it. So David said, but I'm not coming to that meal, because I know if I do, I'm taking the life of my hand. Now let me skip way over into this chapter in verse 16. Drop all the way down to verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And Jonathan said to David, tomorrow's the new moon. Look at this. And thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. You see that? Now drop down to verse 25. And the king sat upon the seat as at other times, even as the seat upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him, and he said, he's not clean. Surely he's not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul sent unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And now, I'm not going to read the rest of all this, but what happened? He said, he asked leave of me, he got my permission. Well, then Saul got mad and tried to kill his own son. If you read it on here, he threw that javelin in. Now, here's a man that's in bad shape. Yeah. But what it done, it caused David's place to be empty. See, he said in verse 18, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And then verse 25, and David's place was empty. And verse 27, that David's place was empty. Now, I'm going to preach to you for just a few minutes here on this thought. Will thy seat be empty? Will thy seat be empty? You know, everybody's got a place. Yep. Now, the will of God for you at this time is here at this school. If God led you here, God led you to come and finish. You said, but there'll be problems. I might have problems. You're going to have problems if you get out of bed in the morning, you're going to have problems. Yeah. But you got to keep going. And you got to say, I got to do what God is going to have me to, what God would have me to do. God has a place for me. I cannot say that in the 36 years I've pastored the church I pastor, there haven't been hard times. There have been. There have been some times I wanted to run. There have been some times I thought, man, how am I going to make it through this? But let me say this. I've always thought about an empty seat. A lot of times is not a good thing. And let me show you. I want to give you some things here about will thy seat be empty. What will empty your seat? Let me show you some things that will empty seats. Number one, strife will empty seats. Strife. Strife. Do you know that strife empty seats in homes? Man and woman can't get along. And so they split up. Somebody left their place. How sad. You know, if two people save, they ought to work things out, shouldn't they? Well, here's what I'm saying. Strife empty seats in churches. Somebody gets some jealousy in them because they wasn't asked to do a certain thing or sing or preach or play an instrument, or didn't get what they wanted, and so they leave. Or sometimes somebody maybe wasn't as friendly as they should have been. Now, I'm going to do everything I can to keep it down. But let me show you something. The problem many times is in the strife is the strife is caused by somebody that's not right. See, Saul caused this strife. David had to leave not because he was at fault. He had to leave because of pride and jealousy of Saul. Yeah. And the Bible said this, only by pride cometh contention, Proverbs 13:10. Only. Every time there's a fight, pride's involved. Somebody had to have their way. Remember on yesterday I preached to you about Abraham. Remember that when the herdsman was fussing? Remember that? About the cowboys was fussing with Lot's cowboys and fighting with Abraham's cowboy. And Abraham said, let there be no strife. You know why he had that altar? Remember that? I talked about that yesterday. See, the person that's walking with God and loves God, they'll say, I'm going to do what I can. We ain't going to have no problem here. But the strife comes from the person who says, I want my way. They're not good enough to me. They're not treating me right. You see what I'm trying to say? And so Saul was the reason David had to leave. David's seat was empty because of strife. Do everything you can. Do everything you can. Listen, to keep your heart right. And don't let a bunch of jealousy get in you. Amen. You know, listen, sad to say, it even gets in preachers sometimes. And strife gets in them. And then they're mad at this one. You know, me and Brother Wilkerson's wearing the same uniform. When I hear the blessings of God on First Baptist Church and Hiles Anderson College, down my way, and I hear about it, I rejoice. Amen. Man, what kind of a Christian would I be to hear of the demise of another church or ministry going down, or some preacher having problems? Brother, let me tell you something. If you can rejoice over something like that, something's wrong. Or if God blesses some other ministry, I praise God for it, you see. Now, let me say this. So strife and jealousy causes problems, see? And then not only that, sin causes, and jealousy is sin, and strife is sin, but sin causes seats to be empty in rebellion. Remember Absalom? I don't have time to really preach this, but I'm just giving you the outline. You fellas can take it and preach it. But you see, remember Absalom? When he thought that he knew more than his dad knew? No, he didn't. No. You said, well, what was wrong with him? Rebellion.
Yeah.
Rebellion. Let me tell you something, fellas, you young preachers. You may sit out there sometime and think you know more than his staff knows or Brother Wilkerson knows. Some of these preachers have been in this thing a long time, but you don't. Now, let me tell you something. So when they're talking or teaching you or something, you learn. See, Absalom got the thing. He thought, I could run this thing better than Dad's running it. And Absalom was the son of David, and he thought he knew more than Dad, and he got down at the bottom of the stairs of the house of God where David was reigning, and when people would come in, he said, oh, that I was the king of the land. And the Bible said he got him about 50 men that knowed nothing. And they got him some placards that said, vote for Absalom. And they got to running through the streets. That's right. That's exactly what they did. And the Bible said he had a crowd started following him and didn't know a thing. Didn't know nothing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And they're running through and they don't know what's going on. But you know what? You follow Absalom, and what a terrible death he died. And David loved him, and it broke David's heart. But when David sat down to eat after that, there was a chair empty at the table where Absalom should have sat. And David died with a broken heart. And when they come back, Ahimaaz and Cushai come back from the battle and told David that Absalom was dead. The only thing David wanted to know, he didn't even ask how the battle went. He said, is the young man safe?
Yeah.
And old Absalom died in his rebellion, and they piled rocks on him and called it Absalom's place. And he died with nothing and nobody. Why? Because his seat was empty, my friend, because of rebellion and sin and disobedience. Now let me say, sometimes sickness empties seats. It emptied Lazarus' seat at the house of Martha and Mary. Sickness sometimes does. Take care of your health. Do the best you can do. What you put in your body in your 20s, and I'm telling you now, and you listen to what I'm telling you. This is an older preacher telling you some things. You young preachers, listen to me. What you put in your bodies in your 20s and in your 30s is going to come see you in your 50s and 60s. It's going to come visit you. And you can take that however you want to take it. And I don't eat exactly like I ought to now, but try to do a whole lot better than what I used to do. But don't get sick. The Lord wants to use you. And try to avoid it if you can. Trying to avoid it if you can. But sickness and death emptied the seat of Lazarus. Thank God Jesus was nearby. And Jesus showed up. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he put him back in his seat, didn't he? He raised him back up. But sickness will, see. And in my church, we've had some people get sick. They couldn't do their job. I've had bus captains get sick and Sunday school teachers get sick and people get sick. We got some now that's sick at church and not able to come. Some maybe won't ever get back. Then let me tell you this right here. Straying out of God's will empty your seat. Leaving the will of God, straying out of the will of God. You remember a man by the name of Elimelech in Ruth chapter 1? Elimelech, and he had a wife named Naomi, and they had a son, Mahlon and Chilion, and a famine came. Be careful about them famines. Remember I told you yesterday that and about Abraham and them got in that famine and they went into Egypt. But here's another famine come, and Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion went 10 years to sojourn to Moab. 10 years to sojourn. Sojourn means to go on a journey with no intentions to stay, but come back. But wait a minute, you know how long it took them? 10 years. 10 years they were gone. Preacher, while they was gone in those 10 years, they had 2 funerals, 3 funerals, three funerals. Both boys died, and Elimelech got sick and died. And Naomi said, I'm going home. I'm going home. And you remember the story how Ruth clave unto her, and Orpha went back. And really, Naomi wasn't totally right. She'd have been a soul winner. She'd have won Orpha before she went back. She told her, go back to her gods. Go back to your gods. That's exactly right. You read it. But Ruth said, I'm going with you. And you know how they come back. But when they come back, let me tell you something. They'd strayed for 10 years. When they come back, and she come back into Bethlehem, Judah, you know what the people said? Is that Naomi? Is that her? She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. The Lord sent me out full and brought me back empty. Well, she thought she was empty when she left. Now, let me tell you something. You may think you're empty, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're in God's will, you sit still. And you wait. If the will of God is for you to come to this college, He'll meet your needs. Listen, where God leads, He feeds. Amen? God leads, He feeds. He'll take care of you. See? And He'll take care of you here. He'll meet the needs. And so what you do, you stay in God's will. Stay in the will of God. I always had a fear in my life about missing God's will. Several years ago, it looked like I could never get that debt paid off where I was at. And I thought, my soul, maybe I'll never get this paid off. Maybe I ought to leave. And it was a church about an hour or so north of me. And they needed a pastor. And they called me and said, would you come preach for us? Now, I didn't candidate or anything. I thought, wouldn't it hurt for me to go up there and just maybe preach? And I went up on a Wednesday night and preached. And Brother Wilkerson, I'll tell you something. Really in my heart, I knew I was a little discouraged, and that dad had me down a little bit. And when I got up there to preach, I felt dirty. I felt like, you ain't supposed to be here. Now, I wasn't their candidate, but I felt like God was saying to me, boy, you stay right where I put you. You don't leave there. You know, sometimes, you know, God's got to build a preacher before He can build a church. And God was working on me. He said, you stick in there. And you learn to trust me by faith. And you grind it out. And now, boy, I'll tell you, I thank God I didn't jump and I didn't run over there. And you know what I did? They said, we liked your preaching. We'd like to have you back. I said, don't believe I can come. And brother, that night, my wife didn't say a word to me. We was going home. She didn't say anything. I didn't say much to her. I didn't say much. You know why? I was quiet because I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I didn't even tell them I'd pray about coming or anything. And after that, I knew it was not the will of God. Now, you know what? I could have jumped out of the boat pretty easy. But, brother, I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better to stay in than just to jump overboard and try to crawl back in.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, ask Jonah. You don't believe it, ask Naomi. The Bible said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:7. Be not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Know God's will. Stay. Straying out of God's will empty your seat. Let me give you real quick, and I'm hurrying now. Setting down in dangerous places with wrong people will empty your seat. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 20? I ain't got time to turn to all these places. Acts chapter 20, Paul was preaching. And look, I'm getting ready to close out here, but the Bible said Paul was long preaching. He was preaching a long time. And there was an old boy come into the meeting that night by the name of Eutychus. What a name. Boy, I'm glad I live in these days. Eutychus was his name. And you know what he did, brother? Ray, he said in the very top, it said in the third balcony up there where there was many lights. But you know what he done? If you read it, now listen to this. He sat down in the window. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm afraid of heights. One time our church needed a roof many years ago, and I was a deacon of that church. And they said, now we're going to put a roof on the church. And it was high. And I said, well, I'm going to tell y'all something. Now, look right here. I met the pastor deacons. I said, I'm going up there on Saturday. I'm going to help you put this roof on. But when I go up on it, I'm not coming off till it's finished. Not for lunch, not for anything, because I'm scared. I don't want to get up, and I ain't coming up and going down and going back up. When I go up, my work's going to be done when I come down. And you know what? I stayed up there. The rest of them went to eat lunch. I sat right up there like a bird up on the roof. I didn't go anywhere. You say, why? I didn't want to climb. I said, they got me up here one time. They're not going to get me up here again. And they didn't. But I helped put that roof on because it was my duty. I did it in fear and faith. Whole lot of fear, a little bit of faith. But you know what? Eutychus, when he sat down in the window for the preaching service. And the Bible said Paul was long preaching. And Eutychus fell asleep. Guess what happened? He tumbled out the window and fell three floors. Fell three stories. And when he hit the ground, he was dead. You know what the problem was, sister? He sat down in a bad spot. That's why his seat was empty. Let me tell you something. When you sat down with the wrong people in the wrong place, you're getting ready to get in trouble. Yeah. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, if you don't walk with them, you won't stand with them. And if you don't stand with them, you won't sit with them. But his delight's in the law of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Be careful. Be careful. About where you sit. You know, if I'm out even hunting somewhere, I sit down, if I was out hunting, Brother Wilkins, I'm going to make sure there ain't a copperhead laying around where I'm getting ready to sit down. I'm going to make sure there ain't a rattlesnake laying around there someplace. Amen? Say, why? It's too late if you sit down on him. Be careful where you sit. Brother, let me tell you, don't stray out of God's will. Be careful about sitting in dangerous places. Self-pity will empty your seat. Elijah, after he won that great battle up on Mount Carmel, I really never understood it unless he's just tired of fighting. You know what he done? He killed all them false prophets, and then he got a note from Jezebel that said, tomorrow by this time, you'll be like my prophets, you'll be dead. And he hit Highway 30 out of town, running for his life. Running for his life. And he got a little ways out of town and told his servants, you just stay here. You know what? That ain't good. You always need somebody. But he left his servant behind. And he kept on going. And he run till he got so tired he just sat down under a juniper tree. And you know what God said? God woke him up and said, Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you doing? You know what he was doing? He's having a pity party. And God baked him a cake and sent an angel to deliver it with a canteen of water and fed him. And in the strength of that, he run a long ways on. But then he got up there in a cave and God asked him, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? You know what he said? I'm the only one left. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't the only one left. And folks, we don't need to pity ourselves. We need to praise God that God saved us by his good grace and that God give us a place to serve. And what we need to do is not feel sorry for ourselves but go on, because there's no time for that. It'll empty your seat. It'll put you out of the ministry having a pity party. See, you don't make good decisions. Let me tell you this. The snatching away of the rapture is going to empty seats. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and was buried, he said, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. He's coming. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. If this rapture takes place right now, these seats will be empty. Amen. I'd like to be watching. I don't want to be here left watching it, but I'd like to be able to see what they say on CNN when all these Christians are gone. I'd like to hear somebody explain that. I like you're one of them commentators. I'll tell you right now, he wouldn't be a commentator if he's left here. He'd be a baked potato one day. Amen. Let me tell you something. Brother, one of these days, we're leaving here. The snatching away of the rapture. We're leaving this world one day. Then salvation neglected will empty seats. You know something? You know what old Judas, isn't that a sad thing? Judas Iscariot was one of the disciples. Now, he wasn't a saved disciple. The Lord knew from the beginning he wasn't saved. But you think about, you've heard the greatest sermons that's ever been, the greatest messages that's ever been in history. They heard him. They saw the miracles. Judas saw the miracles. He saw him take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men besides women and children. He saw him raise Lazarus. He saw all these miracles. Turn the water into wine. He saw him raise up Jairus' daughter. He saw him heal the crippled man in John 5 by the pool of Bethesda. He saw him touch the blind man in John 9. And on Judas saw every bit of this. And yet one day he betrayed him for the price of a slave, for almost nothing. He betrayed Jesus and sold him out. And he said, I'll show you where he's at and I'll show you who he is. And Judas Iscariot walked up in the Garden of Gethsemane and planted a kiss on the face of Jesus. You know what he did? Jesus said, I'm the door. I am the door, John 10:9. And you know what Judas did? Judas kissed the door of heaven and died and went to hell. That's how close he got. And you know what? His seat in heaven will be empty. My friend, I want my seat to be occupied until God gets done with me. And one day at my church, my seat will be empty. But I want to be like Paul. I want to serve and win souls. And then when I get ready, the Lord, I'll say the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I want to stay with it. And when God gets ready to empty my seat, that'll be all right. Yes. See what I'm saying? I'm going to ask you a question. Will your seat be empty? Let it not be empty. You know one thing you can do? The song of the girl sang a while ago. Listen, whatever you got, use it and be steadfast and be faithful. And let me tell you, stay in your seat. Stay in your seat. On them airplane today, when I get on airplane heading home, they'll say, all right, buckle in your seat and stay in it. I always try to do that. Yeah. I always try to stay in my seat. Say, why? It's my seat. I want to occupy my seat. I've had people on there come and say, I can't see. I'm a right eye. I've sat down in the wrong seat. Sometimes somebody comes and says, you're in my seat. I'll say, what number is it up there? They'll tell me, and I say, I need to be behind. I'm in the wrong seat. I want to get in the right seat and stay in it till Jesus comes. Don't you? What do you say? Let's stay in our seats till Jesus comes and serve him and win souls and pray and stay in God's will and do God's will till Jesus comes. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How about using this old altar today and say, God, I want to occupy my seat and be steadfast and be faithful and do what God would have me to do till I see Jesus one day. Till I see him one day. Maybe some of you got lost family back home and you want them saved. Why don't you come pray and ask God to save them? Why don't you come today to this old altar and ask God to help you? I wonder, would there be one here today who would say, Pastor, I don't even know if I died I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that? I don't know if I died I'd go to heaven. Remember me in prayer, preacher. I ain't sure. My name will be there. Are you surrendered to the will of God? Father, I pray today that you will help me, Lord, to stay faithful till one day you take me to heaven. And Lord, I pray that you'll help every young person in this auditorium that's under the sound of my voice to mount their station and stay in their seat. It's the will of God for them the rest of their life and be faithful servants. Thank you for this college. Lord, I pray the blessings of God upon it. Bless Brother Wilkerson. Bless his staff. Bless First Baptist Church. And bless these dear folks here. Thank you for allowing me to be here one more time. In Christ's name, amen.